Sure is good to see everybody here this morning. As I am looking out into the audience, I see we do have some people that are visiting with us. It is always our intention and always our desire here at the Lindo Church of Christ to make those of you that are visiting to feel welcome. With the hope that whenever you're here in Lindell again, that you will come back, worship God together with us again, and if you're willing and able to study with us from the Word of God. I was in Searcy, Arkansas last week in a gospel meeting. It's the congregation that I moved from. It was good to go back to Searcy and to see my friends and my brethren in that part of the country. And gospel meetings, actually, they are not work. Those are vacations. And so I'm rested and ready to get back into the work here in Lindell, and it sure is good to be home and be back with the brethren and the friends here. If you'll notice, the title of my sermon is quite a different title. It's called Wandering by Faith. You know, whenever you think of faith, you think of walking by faith, living by faith. But I purposely titled it Wandering, because when you think of the word wandering, you think of kind of aimlessly going, not really knowing where you're going, but still going. And you find the scriptures speak of the children of God in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrews, as they were wandering by faith. Verse 37 to 38, they were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Now, when we're talking about wandering, again, that's the whole idea of I'm not really sure where I'm going. And I'm going to be over here for a while, and I'm going to be over there for a while, I'm going to keep going back over here, and just going to keep on moving. Now, how many of you like wandering in life? I don't. I like security. I want to buy a van that's going to last till I'm dead. And I'll push it till it's dead. I want my house to stay in place. I want things to be permanent as much as possible. I like stability. In studying about the primary needs of women and females, in a book that I read called His Needs, Her Needs, it said that one of the primary needs of a female is security. They need desperately stability in their life, to know that he's going to be there, that there's security, that he's going to take care of the needs in the family. And I believe it's still that way today. But I don't believe it's just with women. Because being honest with you as a man, I love order. I want stability. I want security in my life as well. But when it talks about them wandering, that seems to be pretty unstable to me. Because one time they're over here in the deserts, and they're over in the mountains, and they're in dens, and they're caves. There doesn't seem to be any security there. We're going to be studying Abraham and Sarah this morning. We're going to start over in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Now the Lord has said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Here you have God speaking directly to Abram. Later on, his name is going to be Abraham. But notice, Abram begins, whether you realize this or not, as a city boy. If you don't know it, Ur of the Chaldees, Ur was a major metropolitan city. Over in southern Mesopotamia, it was the primary city of the kingdom. So when it talks about Abraham coming out of Ur of the Chaldees, you need to understand, he came from the major city in southern Mesopotamia. And he was not a poor individual. As you continue in the text, you will see that he was quite a wealthy individual. And then when he first moved with his entire family, his brother Nahor, and his nephew Lot and his father Terah, they actually first went to the city of Haran. Now, if you don't know about Haran, Haran is in northern Mesopotamia, and Haran is actually the sister city of Ur. But it's just in the northern part of Mesopotamia. So they actually, at the very beginning, go from one city to another city. And it is here in Haran here where God speaks to Abram and he says, get out of your country, not just your town, but your country, from your family, the people that you have bonds with, the people that you love, you leave that family, and from your father's house. leaving behind your brother Nahor and all your family and all your friends and your country, and I'm going to take you to another place that I'm going to show you. Now, I got something I want you ladies to do. I want you to put yourself in Sarah's shoes. And Abram, your husband, comes to you and he says, the Lord has spoken to me and he tells me we need to leave. What's going to be your first question? Well, where are we going? What would you do if he says, I don't know, but we're just going to go. And we're going to leave our comfortable homes here in the city, and we're going to leave our family here, and we're going to leave our security, and I want you to trust what the Lord has said to me, and I'm going to trust the Lord, and we're just going to go. Have any of you ever moved? Moving, they say, is one of the most stressful things you can do. And even if you have a U-Haul, it's difficult to move. They didn't have U-Haul vans. It was a very difficult thing to move from one city to another, much less from one country to another. And as you study the text here, you will find that Abraham, he was not a poor individual where it was just him. It was he and his wife Sarah, and all their servants, and all their possessions. And so you got to pack up the camels. And you're packing up the camels and you're packing up the donkeys. And you don't get there overnight. You travel and you travel and you travel. But again, you do understand, where you're traveling to? We don't know. We don't know where we're going. We're just traveling. Let me ask you, is there any security in that? No. That's why it's called wandering. Look at the next text on this over in Hebrews 11, 8 through 9. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive his inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So you have him leaving that which he knows, that which he is secure with, his home, his family, his country. He leaves all of his security and everything that he knows and everything that he's comfortable with, and he turns and by faith he begins wandering. And he wanders and he wanders. And he doesn't really know where he's going. Again, the point I'm trying to make is there's insecurity there because you don't really know what's coming. You don't really know where you're going. And the text says here, a foreign country. Have any of you ever been to a foreign country and Arkansas doesn't count? I mean a foreign country. I remember when we moved to Czechoslovakia and we were the only Americans living in the city. And I had to go to Prague for the first time all by myself at the train station. And I was running through the train station screaming at the top of my lungs, "Does anybody speak English?" And everybody was looking around like, look at that crazy man. It is a helpless feeling being a stranger in a strange land. Where you come in and you can't even speak their language. And they have all kinds of customs and traditions that you don't understand. Here they are wandering, and they're not even wandering in their own country. They're wandering in a foreign country. And they don't have any stability now because they're dwelling in a tent. And you got to understand, it's Abraham, Sarah, Lot, and all their servants. And they're dwelling in tents. And he comes down to Shechem, and they dwell in tents. And then they move on from Shechem down to Bethel, and they dwell in tents. And they dwell in tents all the way to Bethel. And then they dwell in tents all the way down to Hebron. And then they get down to Hebron, and they're going to stay there. No, we're going to go on down to Egypt. And then they come back to Hebron, and then they go over to Gerar. And throughout all of Abraham's life, they never build a house. The rest of their life is in a tent, wandering. And all this time, what's one of the primary desires of a female that's married? I want a baby. I want to have children. Here's Sarah all this time with no children, wandering. Where are we going to sit down roots? You know the only place that Sarah finally ended up where she put down roots was when she was buried in the cave of Machpelah. That's the only time Abraham ever bought any property in Canaan. And that was to bury his wife. The rest of her life after they left Haran was nothing but wandering. Wandering in a foreign land. Wandering away from your family. Wandering without any children. Wandering living in tents. But wandering by faith. Now then, let's bring the application to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 speaks to you and I, because you need to realize God also tells us, leave that that you know. Leave that that you are comfortable with, even your friends and maybe even your family, and come out from among them. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. How do you feel about friends? I love having friends. And you need to understand something. If I befriend you, I do not take it lightly. It is a very serious treasure in my life. Unfortunately, at times in my life, I befriended some pretty ungodly people. And they had an influence on me. They pulled me into their world with them. And one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life was coming out from among them and separating myself from them and letting go of that world. If you are going to be a Christian and you are seriously going to repent and serve the Lord, you are going to have to leave what you are comfortable with at some point in time in your life and begin a journey. Every single one of us has to make our own journey by faith. Over in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, 3 through 4, we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. This is where they were. When we walk in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries, that's where they were. They were in that world with their friends, with their companions, with their buddies, with their pals, doing these things. But when they became a Christian, they removed that from their life. They repented of it. But you need to understand something. When you repent and turn from sins, what are your buddies going to do? It says in verse 4, in regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same foot of dissipation, speaking evil of you. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to leave sin that you are very comfortable with. You're going to have to leave sin that you like, that you enjoy. The reason you do it is because you enjoy it. And if there are companions and friends who are participating in the same sin, you have to come out from among them. You have to leave them. You have to separate yourself from them, because you know if you're going to stay in the bonds of friendship with them, you're going to stay in the sin. Break free. Separate yourself. Come out from among them. Do it by faith. Do it by trust. And again, one of the scary things is you think, but I love these people. I care about these people. They're my friends. I like that world over there. Okay. But if you want to go to heaven, if you want to have the Lord receive you, you've got to leave. You got to leave what you know for the unknown. I remember when I came out from among them, there was a time in my life in Mississippi when I had no friends. None. But I'm here to tell you, I got more friends now than I ever had in my life. And they're great friends. They're members of the body of Christ, and they're scattered all around the world. When I was in the hospital here last month, I got folks contacting me from all around the world. All kinds of great, wonderful Christian friends. And we have a common faith, a common understanding of the Scriptures, a common goal, and we encourage and exhort one another to make it to heaven. You see, the Lord will provide your needs. You just have to trust Him, because it is a difficult time sometimes to feel alone, because you need to understand the broad way that leads to destruction, many there be that go in thereat. The vast majority of the world is going to live in sin. There's another way, though, there's a narrow, difficult way that leads to eternal life, and the Scripture says about it, few there be that find it. Find the few. Make friends with the few. And together, travel the narrow, difficult way which is leading to eternal life. But there's going to come a time when you're going to have to leave the world. Getting back to the text in Matthew, sometimes it may even be your own family. In Matthew 10:36-39, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Fortunately, whenever I won't obey the gospel, my mom and dad were in there saying, "All right, that's great." My sisters were in there encouraging me. I had all kinds of friends around me encouraging me. I have been told, though, that there are instances when there are individuals who want to become members of the body of Christ, that their family rolls their head back and howls and say, "Don't do it! If you do this, we're going to separate you. You're not going to be part of our family." One of our elders up in Searcy, whenever he obeyed the gospel, his entire family disowned him. I remember over in Czechoslovakia, there was a young girl whose parents were communists. And they told her, "If you get baptized and you become a Christian, we will disown you. We will kick you out of our house." And they did. She was willing to let go of family. She was willing to let go of security with mom and dad, a home with mom and dad, and go into the unknown. Would you do that? Would you let go of security, even if it meant letting go of family? Your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife, your children. If you would not let go of family, and you would hang on to family rather than serve the Lord, the Scripture says you're not worthy of Him. Fortunately for me, I didn't have to let go of family, but some of you may. If you do, you need to understand you are worthy of being with the Lord. Because you by faith have let go of security and by faith are going into what is an insecure direction. You're not really sure what it's going to be like. What's going to happen? Is there going to be relationships and love out there? Every single one of us who are going to repent and become Christians are going to have to leave something in our life behind. Something that is sinful that we enjoy doing. A lifestyle that was us. And companions that we had formed in that lifestyle. And even it may be family that is warning you to stay back there in your old life. Every single one of us have to begin the journey. And leave where we came from. And by faith, walk. And even wander. Yes, I will even use the word wander. Because the truth of the matter is, I don't know what's coming. Have any of you ever taken a long trip with your children in the car? What's one of the things that gets on your nerves if this happens with you? One time we were actually going down to see our grandparents that live down here in Searcy. Not Searcy, excuse me, Shreveport, where they live. And we were up in Searcy. And we actually got down to the end of the street of Joyce. And Jennifer, I think it was one who said it, she said, "How much further we got to go?" And I was like, "You're kidding. We just left the house." And what you hear is, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? How much further we got to go? How many times have you heard that? We are a nation that loves instant gratification. Let me ask you, have you ever found yourself getting upset with your computer because it's too slow? You think about that. It's a computer. Have you ever gone into a fast food restaurant and complained about how slow the service was? It's fast food. We want it, and we want it now. Are we there yet? Okay, you're telling me I have to leave this. That's difficult enough in and of itself to break free of the world, to separate myself from it, and to serve you and start following you by faith. But how long I got to do this before I get where you're telling me I'm trying to get to? Are we there yet? How much further we got to go? Hebrews 11 and 10 says, "For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." When they left, how long did they wander? Till they were dead. Well, what about Isaac? How long did he wander? Till he was dead. And Jacob? Till he was dead. And they kept waiting and waiting and waiting. They waited all their life. It says in that same chapter of Hebrews 11, "These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." The text says here, they embraced these promises. They were assured of these promises. And they realized they were strangers. They lived as strangers in a strange land. They lived continually as pilgrims on the earth. But they believed the promises of God, and they kept on going forward and going forward and wandering by faith every single day of their life, all the way to the end of their life. Continuing the text here, it says, "And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." You see, Abraham could have gone back to Haran, but he didn't. Isaac could have gone back to Haran, but he didn't. Jacob could have gone back to Haran, but they didn't. They continued to wander by faith all the days of their life till they were dead, because they were not looking to Haran. They were not looking to the earth. They were looking to heaven. Because what they were looking to ultimately was God. That was where they were trying to get to. Not to a physical city, but a heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. Now let's take that and apply that to ourselves. In Lamentations 3, and in verse 26 it says, "It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The word hope indicates there's something that you are desiring. And not only are you desiring it, but you're expecting to receive it. I am desiring heaven, and I am expecting to receive heaven. But are we there yet? No. We still have some journey out ahead of us. Well, how long am I expected to journey? To your death. Just as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wandered by faith to their death, we are expected to walk by faith and live by faith and continue to press on toward heaven all the way to the very end of our life and die in faith. Look at this next verse in Romans 8:25. I got something I want you to do. As we continue in the next three verses, I want you to try to figure out what is the common denominator in these three verses. "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." What we do not see is heaven. We're not there yet. What we do not see is eternal life in a spiritual body. We're not there yet. And it says about that, that we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And that is the idea we're not going to give up. We're not going to go back to the world. We're not going to go back to our sinful life in the past. We are going to keep pressing on. We left that. We separated ourselves from that. And we're just going to keep on going forward in the journey to heaven. We're not there yet. Haven't seen it. Do you, any of you know the map to heaven? It's over there in the scriptures. But it goes through Christ. But as far as a physical map, I don't know anyway. You know, I have a map in here to Dallas. Every time I go to Dallas, I got to have a map to show me how to get around. How do you get to heaven? You go there by faith, because the truth of the matter is I really don't know the direction except to go through Christ. But notice this phrase, eagerly wait. Those are two phrases that don't seem to go together, because when you're eager about something, what is that? It's like, oh man, I want it. I can't wait for it. All right. It's coming. All right. How much effort does it take to hold on to eagerness day after day after day after day after year after decade? Because you find yourself start thinking, are we there yet? How much further I got to go? Yeah, I want to go to heaven. And we find ourselves no longer necessarily becoming eager about it. Eagerness, to me, is a strong hope of looking forward to it with great anticipation and not letting go of it. Look at these next two verses now. Philippians 3, 20 through 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that may be conformed to His glorious body according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Heaven. The spiritual body in heaven. And it says about this citizenship in heaven, here it is again, we eagerly wait for it. Hebrews 9, 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. I know you see the common denominator between the three verses is the phrase, eagerly wait. That is what we have to do. We have to be eager about going to heaven. And that is the idea of, yeah, all right, I'm going. It's coming. He's coming. The resurrection is coming. Well, when? I'm not really sure, but it's coming. And don't give up your faith and your confidence and your trust. It is coming. It is real. Do not quit the journey. Persevere. Wait. Continue to be patient. Because when you see eagerly and wait, those seem to be two words that are contradictory to each other. Because eager is, I want it, I can't wait for it. But you told wait for it. Wait and wait and walk by faith and wander by faith and live by faith. Heaven is the goal. Do not lose focus and come back to this world and cling to this world. Heaven is where we're going. It is for real. Eagerly anticipate it and hope for it. And then patiently wait. We're not there yet. We still got a lot of journey ahead of us. Continue to take the journey by faith. There's an interesting thing said about Sarah over in 1 Peter 3, 4 through 6. Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Now look at this. It is talking about Sarah here. And it is speaking about how she had this beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And it says that God saw that as being very precious in His sight. But notice the last part of the text. Whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. When Sarah left Haran, she was not afraid with any terror. When she was wandering as a stranger in a strange country and a pilgrim, she was not afraid with any terror. How could a woman who has let go of all of her security in her home and is now wandering as a stranger, living in tents with no child, how can she not be afraid with any terror? The answer is in the text here. In the very middle of it says, holy women who trusted in God. That's the key. They wandered by faith. They waited by faith. They lived by faith. It was the faith they had in God that made it possible for them to be able to be at peace and not be afraid, even though they did not have security. Look at this in the book of Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep him in peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You can have peace, perfect peace, when your mind is stayed on God and when you trust Him. All the scriptures we've been reading here this morning all began with, by faith they did this. They trusted in the Lord. If you desire to have peace while you're going forward and walking by faith, even though there may be things going on around you in your life, they're difficult and causing trouble and suffering and problems, you can still have perfect peace. But you got to keep your eyes focused on the Lord. And you got to trust Him. The last verse, Psalms 56 and verse 11. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? When it says live by faith, that means it is an all-consuming relationship with God. It is controlling everything you do. It's why you do what you do. It is why you go forward following Him, serving Him, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, coming out from among them, following, separating yourself from the world, following, repenting of your sins, following. Where are we going to? We're going to heaven. And we're going there by faith. I trust the promises of the Lord. Heaven is for real. The resurrection is for real. Eternal life is for real. And the way really is through Jesus Christ. Do not stop your journey. Do not turn back to the world. Press on in trust with your eyes on the goal. With your eyes on the Lord, keep pressing on all the way to the very end of your life by faith. There may be somebody here this morning who is not a member of the body of Christ. If you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're willing to confess your faith and repent of your sins, putting off the old man, putting on the new man, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the body of Christ. You will begin your journey to heaven. It is real. Those of you that have already begun this journey, if you find yourself getting discouraged because you're not there yet, and you're no longer eagerly waiting, to the contrary, you basically let go and you're not even going that direction anymore, I want to encourage you to come back to the Lord. To put your trust back in the Lord, your confidence back in the Lord, and get back into following the Lord. Take your sin to Him. We'll pray for you, we'll pray with you, we'll do the best we can to encourage you. If you are subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the songs that have been selected.